Hello everyone, welcome to today's episode of Your Data HQ. We have Stephen Johnson from Shipyard here with us today. Stephen Johnson is a data community advocate at Shipyard. Shipyard is a low-code orchestration tool that allows data teams to connect their full data stack together. So thank you so much, Stephen, for being here with us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So I gotta ask, what does Shipyard imply in the sense of data stack?
Sure. So, once you get into Shipyard, you'll notice that we code words and things like workflows as fleets and tasks as vessels. So our whole product is kind of nautical themed, but where we kind of fit into the data stack in general is, we look at ourselves as an automation tool or an orchestration tool. Kind of in the same vein as like an Airflow or a Prefect. So we allow all of the products in the data stack to be combined together, such as, a Fivetran to a DBT to a Tableau and all those products that we can connect them together to make sure that they all run seamlessly together.
Cool. So it's almost like how shipyards allow for, the whole economy to like flow. Here, you're helping like the whole shipping of products to flow based on data, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's kind of the metaphor that our co-founders went for whenever they named the product and kind of themed it all out. So we like to think that we're acting as the shipyard of the data stack, per se.
That's very interesting and a very cool name too. I like it.
Yeah.
So how and why did you get into the data space?
Yeah, so my background is I taught high school math for 4 years before I switched into the data space. And, for a lot of reasons, I decided to get out of teaching. I had a math background where I taught math. So I had a math degree. And so I was kind of thinking, in the math space, where could I apply that knowledge of mathematics into something that's practical? And obviously something that can be a career for, 20 or 30 years. And about that time, I was seeing a lot of advertisements for, data analysts, data engineers, data scientists. And I started investigating those fields and saw that, my math degree would first off flow perfectly into that. I've always been a big fan of programming and computers and all that good stuff as well. So it seemed like a natural fit, coming out of teaching to kind of go towards the data space.
Mm-hmm. That's a very interesting journey. And, the way you mentioned that, math being at the core of all of it, which is something, people need to understand, especially the new ones coming into data science or even analytics or engineering, the sheer amount of math, orientation that's involved. And right now, as a data community advocate, like how did you get into that role? And do you think your background set you up for it?
Yeah, so it's an interesting role. It's kind of a newer role to the space, to my understanding. There's not a lot of out there about it, and there's not many of us out there in the space. So before I was a data community advocate at Shipyard, I was a data scientist at a nonprofit. As a data scientist, as a data engineer, those are roles that you generally are behind the keyboard most of the time. You're not getting too much interaction with the outside world. You're doing a lot of coding, a lot of hands down, building pipelines and things like that. I didn't get out of teaching because I didn't like teaching. I still love teaching. And so I was kind of looking for a spot in the data space that I could combine like my knowledge of math, my knowledge of the data space as I knew it at that point. And also just a spot that I could just teach that to other people. And that's kind of where this data community advocate spot was like really shine to me whenever I saw the job or the job description. Was it's a spot that, I still am able to do data science stuff. Like I built a machine learning model a couple of weeks ago. I still get to do some data engineering. Like we still pull data and we still transform data and clean it. But then I also get to make YouTube videos and I get to make blog posts and, documentation and how to's. And so I get to actually go hands on with, our customers and, prospective customers and demos and things like that. And I get to teach them how to use Shipyard as well and teach them not just how to use Shipyard, because kind of the beauty of Shipyard is that we are an orchestration tool. So without the other tools and without Python and without SQL, our tool really doesn't do anything. Like, you have to have all these other things coming together because we're really just orchestrating those other activities. And so I get to also talk to teams about how, you know, if they don't have an extraction tool, we get to talk about that. Or if they don't know how to transform their data using Python or using a DBT, we get to talk about that as well. So I get to, you know, I get to teach them as well, which is the part of the job that really, you know, came from my teaching background.
Got it. I'm really glad you are still, you know, able to follow that passion for teaching. And yeah, to be honest, like, your Data HQ was also started partly for that, because we wanted to get out into the community, like, discover others who are doing cool stuff in the data space. Right. So that's very cool to hear.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that, you know, it's basically just an orchestration tool and you go around and teach people what are the technologies involved in that. So tell us why orchestration is important today in the data space.
Yeah. So, you know, as we've talked to, you know, prospective customers and even our customers, and we've talked to just general people across the data sphere at conferences and things like that. Something that we've noticed is that orchestration and even monitoring, which we do at Shipyard as well, data monitoring, those are kind of two things that are really important, but are things that always get pushed to the back burner. And what I mean by that is we generally see teams that focus primarily on, you know, like, they want to build that extraction process out. They want to build that transformation and they want to build like that BI layer or potentially like the machine learning layer. And like that, those are like their top focus things. And then once they get all of that like perfected, then they start looking at orchestration. The problem with that is if you don't focus on orchestration on the front end, you're going to get so many errors in that setup process as you're going through. And a perfect example is in my very first job when I was an intern, we had a process that the front end data extraction would fail over and over and over again, but we had no way of knowing that it was failing. So our data load would take 4 or 5 hours every single day, and we wouldn't know until hour five that the process was broken. And so then we'd have to wait for it to finish, which took the 5 or 6 hours, and then we'd have to like restart it, which then basically the whole workday was over. Mm-hmm. And so then we couldn't provide any data for our stakeholders because we had no idea what was happening in that process. And that's something that, you know, we're trying to preach at Shipyard, is that orchestration isn't just combining those tools together, but it's also giving you the ability to monitor those processes as you go through the steps, so that if that first step in your process, that data extraction layer, if it breaks, the rest of your stop process isn't going to run. And then you can stop your process, fix that, and then restart your process so that you're wasting maybe 30 minutes of your time versus the full 5 or 6 hours that the full data load could take some days. And so that's why, you know, that's why I think orchestration is important, just because it allows you to kind of stop those errors before they get there, because there's nothing worse than walking into, you know, a meeting with your boss and you had a data presentation and you thought you had your Power BI dashboard ready to go, but then you realize that, hey, the data from today is not in here because your extraction didn't work and you didn't know that until you walked into your meeting. So we're trying to stop those nightmares from happening before they do.
Yeah, so the one way to look at what you just mentioned is that how orchestration just enables interoperability of, you know, all of these components together and gives you like the whole picture of where exactly did it go wrong, because there are so many moving components, right?
Yeah, I mean, the data space is so, it's so scattered because there's so many great tools out there that all do their own thing, right? And like, we want to use those tools to their, you know, we want, like, they're all, you know, specialty tools that do their one thing extremely well. But if you don't combine them in any way, then there's going to be, you know, there's no road between those tools. That's going to be, so you're just hoping that it gets there, which is not a great strategy.
Yeah, true. Which is why, you know, we have to, like you mentioned, think about how you lay out the entire workflow from the beginning and orchestrate it, set up to orchestrate it.
That's right.
Cool. So what advice would you give someone new to the space?
Yeah, because I'm still pretty new to the space. I've only been into the space around 3 or 4 years now. I think the biggest advice that I try to, you know, tell, the, you know, I know I talk to college students or bootcamp students that are trying to get into the space is really just to be humble and realize that you're not going to come in, like, no matter whether you went through a 4-year college program, a master's degree, a doctorate degree, or, you know, or boot camp, or no matter how you came into the space, you're not going to know everything that's going on once you get here. And most importantly, even if you do know a lot about what's going on, and you know, in a year, it's all going to change. You're not going to know anything at that point either. So I think the biggest thing coming into this space for beginners is not just for beginners, but for everybody, but especially for beginners is, you know, be ready to like hit the ground running and realize that you probably don't know as much as you need to know, and just be ready to learn. And I think if you come into this space and you have the willingness to learn, you can grow really quickly, because, you know, a lot of the concepts in the data world, like, are super learnable by anybody. Like, you don't have to come from a math background or a business background or anything like that. I think anyone can step into this space. And if you're willing to learn the concepts you need to learn to be successful, it just takes that willingness to learn to get there.
True. And also, if I may add, the willingness to relearn or unlearn as well, rather than, you know, sort
That's
of
right.
This is the stack I was used to, so I'm just going to continue using it for 10 years. It just doesn't make sense anymore. Like, the use cases have changed, the data maturity has changed. So you just, you know, have to adapt to newer tools, newer business scenarios, and maybe rely on, you know, tools like Shipyard to actually orchestrate and ensure interoperability between the past and the new tools as well.
Yeah, you just, you know, whenever you're in this space, you can never assume that you know the right way. And I've kind of came to the conclusion in this space that there probably isn't a right way.
Yeah.
There's better ways and there's worse ways of doing things, but there's a lot of ways that are all perfectly fine, like routes to go using different software and using different tools. And it's just being willing to say, like, hey, like, this other tool might be a better path now, and be willing to make that shift if it's better at that moment, you know?
Yeah. And always, you know, have a reach to a community so that you can discuss it, just to explore different ways of doing the same thing. And, you know, I hope your Data HQ portfolio of videos can serve to be that one day.
Sure.
So how do you stay updated with the advances in this field? Like, do you have an upskilling plan?
Yeah, and that's what's been really cool about this position is the position in itself is almost a great way to learn, because, you know, every time we have a new customer that comes in, they're using their own processes, they're using their own tool, you know, they're using a different set of tools. So it makes me, as a person, I have to go learn those tools so that I can help those customers out. So just the position in itself helps me learn. But, you know, I found Reddit to be super helpful. Obviously, if you're in the right subreddits, you know, the data engineering subreddit, the data science subreddit, you know, LinkedIn, there's also the DBT Slack community, or like the Locally Optimistic Slack community. You know, I probably spend 30 minutes to an hour of my workday every day reading through those different resources to make sure that I'm continually understanding what the data, like where the data space is going and what new tools are popping up. Because it seems like every day I find a new tool or I find the new process that people are doing. And you know, if I can just understand what they're like, the process that these people are going through, you know, that allows me, the next customer that walks up to me at Shipyard, I can say, hey, like, I saw this person, you know, solve your problem using this process. And that allows me to be a better employee by doing that.
Got it. So when you come across these new things, you're supposed to learn just the new tools or just new ways of doing things. Do you note them down or journal them somewhere such that you can go back to them?
Yeah. And that's I try to take notes, and I try to make sure, I always try to make a connection, which I think is, that's something that gets lost in the data space sometimes, is we are, you know, by the industry, a lot of us code all day, and, you know, like I talked about earlier, we're all writing SQL all day, writing Python all day. And sometimes we forget that there's millions of other people in the world that are doing the exact same work that we are, and that could always offer us help. So especially whenever I see a new tool that I think is interesting and think can be potentially helpful for us at Shipyard, or for, you know, any potential customer we might come on in the future that might have a problem that software can solve, I always try to make a connection with that company and reach out to them and say, hey, like, I like what y'all are doing. Like, can you show me, you know, can you give me a short demo? Like, can you give me some documentation? And generally, they're always, you know, all of these vendors always have people that are always willing to show you, like, at least show you the ropes of their software, which is always super helpful, because, you know, you can always spend you know, you can always create an account and spend, two or three hours running around the software and, you know, trying to figure it out on your own. But you can have someone who's a master of the software give you 30 minutes. That's usually enough to get a really good feel on what that software can do. In which case, then you can go and run on your own and, you know, kind of take that knowledge to the next level if you want to.
Got it. Yeah. People should try reaching out more then.
Yeah. And not just, you know, not just the vendors, but, conversations happen on LinkedIn and Slack all the time of people that have questions. And, you know, that's something that has been kind of a New Year's resolution for me is, you know, obviously I want to help our shipyard customers out whenever they have questions, but I also try to stay active in Slack communities and LinkedIn communities and Reddit, and not just trying to stay abreast on what's new in the industry, but also, like, if there's someone new in the industry that has a question about a certain tool or, you know, has a question about a process, like, I've been trying to spend a lot of time this year, like, just being helpful to other people, because there's so many people that have stepped in my 3 or 4 years in the industry that have helped me get to where I am now, that I'm just trying to return that favor any way that I can.
Got it. That's very cool. Thanks for doing that.
Yeah.
So outside work, what do you enjoy and get inspired by?
Yeah. So outside of work, I'm a gamer, like I'd say a lot of people in our industry are. So that's always an exciting field to be in. I like strategy games and I like sports a lot as well, which ties in. But I'm also a big musical fan. So I'm always inspired by, you know, every year there's new musicals that come out on Broadway, and just getting to hear the different styles, the different cultures that come out in those songs and those stories, always inspires me and definitely always puts a smile on my face, but always can inspire me to keep working, because I just think that art form is really beautiful and it's really inspiring for me.
Thank you for sharing that. So thank you, Stephen, for this very interesting podcast.
Yeah. And
thanks to the listeners too.